Hello, and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. We're so happy that you've tuned in to listen to our sermon today. In today's sermon, we talk about how we are going to be a church that lives in worship of God. The whole point is that we equip people with the gospel to begin living in worship, and then we also equip people that are already believers to continually live in worship of God. And we live in worship of God in two different ways. We live in worship of God when we praise Him with our lips and when we serve God and serve others. We hope you enjoy this sermon, and if you have any questions about Neely's Bend Baptist Church or the gospel, please email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week. So we're going to continue to work through our mission statement as a church. As we've learned the last few weeks, working through our mission statement of what we believe, who we are, and who we're going to be as a church. And so, like I said last week, this mission statement ultimately gives us something to aim for. It gives us a goal, something to work toward, to move toward, something to accomplish, a mission to accomplish. And so, the mission statement ultimately gives us a sense of purpose, right? It gives us a purpose for our church. Now, as stated before, the mission statement should ultimately reflect the Great Commission. Go, therefore, make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. So at this time, let's just begin by reading through our mission statement together as a church. Neely's Bend Baptist Church exists to glorify God by equipping people with the gospel of Jesus, to live in worship of God, in one another fellowship, and on mission to make disciples in Neely's Bend, Madison, and beyond. I want to encourage you to continue to just familiarize yourself with this statement, because this is who we are going to be as a church. So in our first sermon in the series of what is the mission of Neely's Bend Baptist Church, we learned that we exist to glorify God, how our whole purpose as human beings is to glorify God. And as a church, everything that we should do here at this church should simply be to the glory of God. In our second sermon in the series, we learned that we exist to equip people with the gospel of Jesus. As a church, it's going to be our mission to equip those who are outside the church, those who are unbelievers, with the gospel so they can believe in Jesus Christ. It's also going to be our mission to equip those inside the church with the gospel so they continue to grow in faith and grow in spiritual maturity. The gospel changes people's lives, and we should want to get it in the hands of everyone. In our sermon today, we're going to move forward to the next phrase in our statement, to live in worship of God. To live in worship of God. Before we begin digging deeper, let's just go to the Lord and pray for guidance, for help in understanding, and for just knowing more of God's Word and His truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Your goodness. We thank You so much for Your kindness, Lord. We thank You so much for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. Lord, we thank You so much that You are a God that is worthy of being praised, a God that is worthy of having all the honor and glory sung to Him, Lord. And Lord, I pray that as we learn this morning that we are going to be a church that lives in worship of You, Lord, that You will just help us to understand why we should live in worship of You and how to live a life giving You worship, Lord. Lord God, I pray that You just help us to understand Your Word this morning, to know more of Your Word this morning. Lord, I pray that You'd free us from distractions and help us to focus on You and Your Word alone. Lord, I pray that You just help me to preach with simplicity, with clarity and passion this morning, Lord. And Lord God, I pray most of all, if there's one here that has never believed in You, that today is the day that they believe in You as Lord and Savior. They begin to worship You, Lord. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So before we jump into the worship part of our phrase here, I first want to talk about the phrase to live. Just those two letters words, to live. What does it mean to live? To live something out. When I think about someone living something out, I often think of someone like professional athlete, right? You think of professional athletes who are performing at a very high level of play, a very high level of sport.
And so they have to continue to work at that every single day. They have to lift weights. They have to work out. They have to practice their sport in order to be the best that they can be, to live it out. They are living it out. Also think of a parent, for example. You can't just not live as a parent once you become a parent, right? Before Ashton and I had Auden, our daughter, we were able to go out and enjoy doing things together as a married couple. We would go to the movie theaters. We would go play sports. We would go to the park and walk around. We would go and do things that we wanted to do because we had the freedom to do so, right? But then we had our daughter. And once we became a mother and a father, that ultimately changed a lot of things for us. We then had to live as a parent. As a parent, right? As one who is responsible for their child. We can't just skip out on a day of being a parent, right? It's really hard to do that. You really just can't skip out on a second and a half of being a parent. You can't skip out on it. So essentially, what I mean by to live is that we are going to be a church that lives a lifestyle of these things, that lives a lifestyle of the Christian life, that lives a lifestyle of these three things of to live in worship of God, to live in one another fellowship, to live on mission by making disciples. To live, the Christian life is not just a one-time thing. It's not a one-day-a-week thing. It's not a three-day-a-week thing. It's not even a six-day-a-week thing. It is a seven-day-a-week, 365 days a year thing. To be a Christian means you live it out every single day of your life. Just as you can't be a parent for one day a week or 3 days a week or 6 days a week, you're a parent every single day of the week. So we are, as Christians, a Christian, living out the life of a Christian every single day of the week. So when we read the words to live here in our statement, I want you to know that this ultimately means we're going to live as Christians are called to live. We're going to live in worship of God. We're going to live in one another fellowship. We're going to live on mission by making disciples. We're going to live with these mindsets amongst ourselves. Wake up every day and choose to worship God. Wake up every day and choose to participate in the one another fellowship that we have in this church. Wake up every day and choose to be on mission by making disciples. To live means we live this out. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, to kind of further clarify it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a, what does it say? Living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In this verse, we can see that there is an expectation that we are to live our lives as a living sacrifice. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We cannot be a living sacrifice if we are not living the Christian life we are called to every single day of the week. And if we live, we must absolutely live in a way that is holy and acceptable to God. Because when we live that way, what does it lead to? Spiritual worship. It leads to living in worship of God. Which is why we will ultimately be a church that lives in worship of God. So in our sermon today, we're going to focus on the next phrase, the live in worship of God. You think about the Ten Commandments, right? What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then you go to the second commandment, you shall have no idols made in my image or carved idols or any substance. He continues and even says that we should not bow down or serve those idols because God is a jealous God. He's jealous for His own glory. He's jealous for His own worship. God wants us to worship Him. He created us to worship Him. And we actually see that Jesus worships God as well. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus had been tempted by Satan, right? Satan had taken Jesus up to a very high mountain and he's shown him this vast land. And he says, if you just bow down to me, if you worship me, then I will give you all of this. And Jesus responds in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. And Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Church, we are commanded to worship God and to live in worship of Him alone. But what is worship? How does one worship? What does it mean to worship? Ultimately, worship comes from within oneself, right? It comes from deep inside, within your heart. It comes from the Spirit inside of you. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 through 9, Jesus is responding to the Pharisees. And He says, "This people, the Pharisees, they honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. In vain do they worship Me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." These people were the Pharisees, and they had many traditions that had ultimately turned into commands that were not biblical commands. Oftentimes we allow that to happen even in our own church. We create traditions, and we have traditions that continue to happen, and we begin to worship those traditions in some ways. We have to do that every year. We must do that. We must do this. This has to happen. And we begin to worship God in vain. They were not honoring God the way they were supposed to. They were honoring Him the wrong way. Their heart was far from God, the Pharisees, that is, and they worshiped in vain. When we worship God, it must be something that comes from within us. It comes from our heart. It comes from a heart change that we have through Christ, who changed us. So let me ask you this question. Can an unbeliever worship God? Can an unbeliever worship God? An unbeliever cannot worship God. When can an unbeliever, or when can one begin worshiping God? The moment they believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. At that moment, they begin to worship God. But an unbeliever can and will only begin to worship God the moment that they believe. This goes back to ultimately why we want to equip people with the gospel, right? We want to equip people with the gospel so they can believe and then live in worship of God. The gospel is the very reason that anybody can worship God. And then we equip them, we teach them how to biblically and appropriately live in worship of God. Jesus teaches us in John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. That true worshipers, believers, are to worship in spirit and truth. Jesus says, "But the hour is coming, and it is now here, when the true worshipers, that is the true believers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. This truth that Jesus is speaking of here in John 4 is the truth of Jesus as Messiah, the truth of Jesus as the Savior of the world. If we don't believe that Jesus is who He is, if we don't believe in what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross for our sins, if we don't believe that we have salvation through Jesus, then we can't worship Him at all because we don't know the truth. But the moment that we know the truth of who Jesus is and we believe in what Jesus did and we begin to live a life that is following Him, we begin to worship Jesus. We begin to worship God. But what does worship look like in the everyday life? What does it look like to worship God as you live? What does it look like to live in worship of God? Church, I believe there are two clear ways that Scripture teaches us to live in worship of God. Two clear ways that Scripture teaches for us to live in worship of God. And the first way that we see is we praise Him with our lips. We praise Him with our lips. We live in worship of God when we praise Him with our lips. The base for these two ways to live is ultimately going to come from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 says this, Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Now I want to go back for just a moment to something I said earlier. As people, we are created to worship God, right? In a sermon a couple weeks ago, or I guess it's been a few weeks now, we learned that we exist to glorify Him. And ultimately, we exist. One of the ways that we glorify Him is through worship. But as I've already asked, can one worship God if they are not believers? No, they cannot. So the first step, the only way in which one can begin to worship God is if they become a believer, is if they are believers. So as a church, we want to be a church that equips people with the gospel so that they can live in worship of God. And then we want to continually equip them and teach them how to appropriately and biblically worship God. So what do we teach them? We teach them that God desires us to praise Him with the fruit of our lips that acknowledge His name. And I want to say that this means far more than just singing. It means so much more than just singing. Just to think about the word worship and ask you where the word comes from. What did it originally mean? The word worship actually originates from the word worth and ship, right? Worth, ship. Literally meaning that worship is showing or displaying the worth of God. We are showing and displaying the worth of God. Because God is worthy of worship. Therefore, worship is essentially a response to the worthiness of who God is. We see God is worthy, and therefore we worship Him. So when we praise Him with our lips, it just simply means that we are responding to God's worthiness. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it teaches us that these 24 elders who are seated on the throne in heaven, and they are worshiping God. And what are they singing? What are they saying? What are they using their lips to praise God with? They're saying this: worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The elders were responding to God in worship because He is worthy. He is worthy. Therefore, we, in our lives, we should daily respond to God in praise with our lips because He is worthy. Amen? So what are some ways that we can respond in praise to God? We can praise Him through songs. We can praise Him by giving thanks to Him. We can praise Him through prayer. We can praise Him through just the daily reading of His Word. We can praise Him through evangelism and speaking His name to those around us. I think Psalm 100 sums up this pretty well for us. Psalms 100 says this: make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, the psalmist says. Isn't that such an encouraging verse? Excuse me. Isn't that such an encouraging verse? No matter how awful your voice may sound when you sing, I want to encourage you to make a joyful noise to the Lord and praise Him with your lips. Sing to Him. I want you to know that you should never be ashamed of your voice when it comes to praising the Lord and making a joyful noise to Him. I believe that God's Word teaches us of corporate worship and how we should all sing along and worship our God together. Don't let your voice or some other's voice distract you from worshiping God, because we are all making a joyful noise to the Lord. enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Giving thanks is entirely a response to God, right? When we respond by giving thanks to God, we are saying that he is worthy because of what he has done for us. Not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done. Through our actions of giving thanks and praising God with our lips, we worship God by praising him with the fruit of our lips. Amen. Let us be a church that praises God. The second way that we can live in worship of God is we serve God and we serve others. We serve God and we serve others. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Continue with our Hebrews 13 passage there. It says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Now I know that the word share or serve is not here in this verse, excuse me. But church, when we do good, when we share what we have with others, we are ultimately worshiping God. We are serving God and we're serving others. I want us to be a church that is known in this community, that wants to do good and serve those in our community that we have through actions of service. I want us to be a church that is known by their service to this community. I was listening to a podcast recently on church and church life and how the church should be. And one of the things that the guy asked was this. He says, "Does the community feel like the church is here for them? Does the community feel like the church is here for them? If the church were to go away tomorrow, would anyone in the community care? Other than those that go to the church. Would those in our community know? Would they know that Neely's Bend Baptist Church was just no longer here?" He goes on and he basically says, "The way in which you serve your community matters because it creates an impact on those in this community." How are we impacting those in our community? How are we serving those here in Neely's Bend and Madison? Because here's what matters. When we serve those in community, as we serve those in our community, we worship God through our service to them. Because we are not serving ourselves, we are rather serving them and God. And as we serve those in a community, we are ultimately going to display one thing, and that is God's glory, right? We're going to display His glory, and people are going to see that God is glorified and that God is worshipped. And hopefully in return, they will want to worship the God that we worship. You see, when we serve those in our community, we are ultimately following in the steps of the one who came before us, Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says this, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve us by dying on the cross for our sins, for our mistakes, for our failures, so that we could have eternal life. Why would we not want to turn around and try to serve those in our community, to serve those around us, so if they can see the glory of God and in return worship Him? We serve others. We are living like Jesus. Another way that we can serve others is by even serving those within our church. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, Peter writes this. He says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to," what's that word there? "Serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Church, when we love one another, we are serving one another. When we show hospitality to one another, we are serving one another. And even when we serve one another within this church, God is glorified. We can serve each other in so many ways within this church. So many ways that I don't have time to go through all of them, but I just want to encourage you to seek and find the ways that you can begin serving one another in this church. We'll learn a little bit more about what it means to live in a one another fellowship next Sunday when we get to the next phrase in our passage. But the point is that we as a church should want to serve one another. Because through our serving to others, we are serving God. And He is being worshipped. He is being worshipped. We worship when we serve. So in our sermon today, we've seen two ways to live in worship of God. We live in worship of God when we praise Him with our lips. We live in worship of God when we serve God and serve others. When we sing to God, when we give thanks to God, when we pray to God, when we evangelize His name, when we read His Word, we worship God. And when we serve those in our community, and when we serve those within our church, God is being glorified. God is being worshipped. Guys, worship is such a crucial part of our lives, isn't it? As human beings, we are hardwired to worship something. Doesn't mean it's always God, but we are hardwired to worship something. God created us to worship Him, but when we don't worship Him, we will worship something other than Him. Unbelievers will always be found worshiping someone. That could include themselves or something else other than God. And even as believers, while yes, we are saved, do we at times fail to always be worshiping God? We do, don't we? We do. And that can happen in so many ways. We can worship our family more than God. We can worship our job and money more than God. We can worship retirement more than God. We can worship relationships and sex and so many other sexual things more than God. We can worship drugs and alcohol more than God. We can worship hobbies more than God. We can even worship ourselves more than God. And often we worship a comfortable life. Having a comfortable life more than we worship God. Let me ask you this question. What is it in your life? What is it in your life that you might just be worshiping more than God? Because here's what happens when you worship something other than God. You begin to live that out instead of living out the Christian life you're called to. In my own life, I've had this happen. In the past, I used to own a little bass boat, and I loved bass fishing. I used to go bass fishing 2 to 3 times a week, if not more. I would spend a lot of money on bass fishing. Ashton can attest to this. I would spend time searching the internet for bass fishing articles and watching people bass fish. I watched bass fishing on TV, whether it was the Bassmaster series or the Major League Fishing series. I spent a lot of time looking at fishing stuff. I lived bass fishing because I ultimately began to worship that. But the Lord eventually purged that from my life and taught me so much about how I was worshiping something else more than Him. The Lord moved me from a place with tons of bass fishing opportunities to a place where there were very little bass opportunities and a little time to even have to go bass fishing. But when you worship, or what you worship will ultimately be how you live your life. In church, I want us more than anything to be worshiping our great God. Because He is worthy, amen? And ultimately, this should happen in 3 different ways in our life. This is ultimately how we're going to live this out. We should worship God publicly. And what I mean by that is by joining together with a local church, becoming a member of that church family and worshiping God congregationally together with one another. It also means that even in public, outside these church walls, we worship God by how we live our lives. When you take someone for lunch and they get in your truck, what are they hearing? What type of music are they hearing? When you sit at the table, do you bless the food before you eat? Do you give praise to God for the food that you've given? There's so many different ways that we can live this out in public, in front of those around us. We should also worship God with our family. And I want to encourage you to find a time where you and your family gathers together at a set time during the day and worships God together. Have a small family devotion time. Sing a song together, maybe a couple songs. Pray together, give thanks to God together. Read a devotional together, read God's Word together. I know that not every one of us is in the same situation where we all have family around us that live in our home with us anymore. But I want to encourage you that when you have your kids or your grandkids over, to make an opportunity to worship with them. Find an opportunity to read a devotional together. Easter is coming up here in the next month. And I know that many families will eat together. Maybe use this as an opportunity to worship God before you eat your food. Maybe use this as an opportunity to pray and give thanks to God. Maybe give this as an opportunity to read the Easter story before you begin serving food. Because through those things, you will worship God as a family. We should also worship God in private. Make time daily to worship Him. Praise Him with songs. Pray to Him. Give thanks to Him. Study His Word together. Read a devotional. Church, we live what we worship. Let us be a people that worships God, a people that lives in worship of God and seeks to equip others with the gospel so they too can live in worship of God. If you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've never made the decision to trust in Him, to believe in Him, you've spent your life so often worshiping yourself, worshiping other little g gods or other things, I want you to know that God desires your worship. He wants you to worship Him. He wants you to believe in Jesus and trust in Him as Savior and Lord. And He will one day get your worship, either here on earth or at the day of judgment. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 through 11 says this, "And being found in human form," this is talking about Jesus, "in Jesus being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." One day, every knee will bow. Those who believe and those who don't believe. Those who have confessed and those who have never confessed in their life. But they will all bow and they will all confess that Jesus is Lord. The only difference is those who don't bow down and worship God in spirit and in truth will be the ones who inherit. The only difference is those who do believe in Jesus Christ, they bow down to Him and worship Him and confess His name. Those will inherit eternal life in heaven. But those who don't believe will have eternal life in hell. So come to Jesus today and begin living your life in worship of Him. If that is you and you want to make a decision to believe in Jesus and begin following and worshiping Him, I want to invite you to come and have a conversation with me about this decision you're making. and let's talk about what God has in store for you in your life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you so much for your mercy and your kindness, Lord. Lord, help us to see that we should be a church that lives in worship of you, Lord. But not just a church that lives in worship of you, but a church that seeks to take your gospel to other people so they too can live in worship of you, Lord. God, help us to praise you with our lips. Help us to sing songs to you. Help us to give thanks to you. Help us to evangelize your name. And Lord, help us to serve you and serve others, Lord. Because through our acts of service, we are worshiping you and people are seeing your glory. So Lord God, help us to be a church that lives in worship of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.